Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I am Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the show. This is Miracle Monday. It's May the 29th, 2017, and it is also Memorial Day. And so I'm going to start out. I'm going to play a song from A Course in Miracles, since this is Miracle Monday, and we do A Course in Miracles. And this is called Let Me Remember.
Thank you.
let me remember. And this is Mind Shifters Radio, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And before I turn it over to Michael, I would just like to say, as a Memorial Day, thank you. This is our 12th anniversary. So happy anniversary, babe.
Happy anniversary, dear heart. It is an honor and a privilege. I am blessed. As are we all, if we remember. And if you listen to the words of that song, and we live in a world where the idea of the Creator has been so distorted that people have things like hatred and fear and grief and rage and pain attached to just that three-letter symbol. And, of course, the three-letter symbol's got nothing to do with all of those things that people have attached to it. The content of their minds is why those things are attached to that three-letter symbol. If we were to listen to the most ancient of teachings, we'd hear the directive that says that the Creator, that three-letter symbol, is love. And oftentimes in this culture, we hesitate to use that three-letter symbol because there's been so much stuff attached to it, and people turn tail and run the other way. When the truth is, it's all about recognizing who we are, remembering who we are. If you've ever held a newborn child and you tap into the essence of that newborn, what you find is this awesome, sweet presence of love. That's all. Not some theological monstrosity made up by men, based in fear and hostility to separate men from other men and keep the conflict going. That's one of the most insane tricks that's ever been done to us. And so to recognize that there is literally an energy field in which we live, move, and have our being, and that energy field is called love. And recognizing that, if you allow yourself to tap into that, if you allow yourself to live in that, then everything that's less than that love will, by the very presence of active love, begin to dissolve in you. And it's interesting how the culture has made your best friend and your best hope for true aliveness, the enemy. I mean, it's just, you know, the trickery of it, the slipperiness of it, the sophistry of it. You know, you look at that word sophistry, and, you know, even that word we've had turned around, sophisticated. Oh, you want to be sophisticated, right? What's the root of the word sophisticated? Sophistry. It means phony. The Sophists were a group of Greek philosophers that traveled around Greece charging big bucks to the wealthy to teach their children how to lie and have people believe the lies. Like, God is the enemy, God's angry with you, God's going to send you to hell. I mean, just crazy stuff. Crazy, crazy, insane. And yet most people believe that's gospel. Well, we're here to tell a different tale. Remember who you are, and you're remembering the Creator. Because you are a cell. You are the offspring of that energy field called love. And when you begin to look at the pictures in your mind, and you can extend that presence of love to every picture in your mind, you say, well, I'm not looking at a picture in my mind. I'm looking at that bad person out there that just did that terrible attack. Well, you know, somebody did perhaps just do an horrendous attack. Did you lose the presence of love in you because of it? No. You lost the presence of love in you because there's a similar attack in you. And when you learn to forgive, that is, remove that attack in you, then you will hold the person who is doing the craziest things you can imagine in a space of that presence of love. And the practical upshot of that is that those who do crazy things begin to heal. Came across an article just a couple days ago about sociopathic children. And, you know, the sociopath is considered to be, there's just nothing you can do. You know, they're gone. They're lost. They become the killers in our society, et cetera, et cetera. But here's what they're finding. You know, you look at the principle that we've been talking about in this show for 7 years, that we've taught in this work for the last almost 50 years. And the basic thesis is, if there's something less than love in you, or something less than love in the person standing in front of you, if you can hold fast to that actual active presence of love, then that which is less than love in you or in them will begin to dissolve. So now, after years of people giving up on the sociopath, a group of psychologists has finally come up with how you heal a sociopath. You stay with them as the presence of love. And you stay with them as the presence of love. And you stay with them as the presence of love. And when you do, the pain, the trauma, the turmoil, the rage, the guilt, the fear that they carry, that causes them to be insensitive to anything we would call an abnormal, and I call it abnormal purposely, non-human feeling, what people call feelings in our culture. They've been shut down. And, you know, this active presence of love, when we locate that within ourselves, when we remember that that's who we are, and we bring that forward into the presence of the sociopath begins to heal. It's the only thing they've found. It is the key to all healing. And it doesn't matter what there is in you, what there is in your genes, what there is in your environmental experience, what has happened in your world. It doesn't matter. Well, actually, it does matter, because what you hold is an energy that literally is the becoming of your material structure. So it does matter. That is, if you hold hate and rage and fear, what they're showing is that energy held in the mind produces molecules in the body, neuropeptides. The neuropeptides land on a cell, and this cell replicates the neuropeptide. That cell literally inserts itself as energy with, or pardon me, that neuropeptide inserts itself as energy within the cell and becomes the physiology, or what we call the physiology of the cell. When love is present, active in the structure, not some sort of mamby-pamby words about I love you, but when the presence of human life is actually active in a space, then everything, including the depth of pain of the sociopath, begins to gently heal, begins to unravel in the presence of love. So in the middle of your muddle, make 365 days a year Remembrance Day. Memorialize the truth of yourself and remember who you are. Yes, go all the way forward to November 11th, where we have a slightly different celebration that relates. Remember who you are. And so that song, Let Me Remember, and the course lesson, Let Me Remember, is very powerful. The title of the lesson is, Let Me Remember That I Am One With Love. Today, we will again give thanks for our identity in love. Our home is safe, protection guaranteed in all we do, power and strength available to us in all our undertakings. We can only succeed. Everything we touch takes on a shining light that blesses and that heals. At one with love and with the universe, we go our way rejoicing with the thought that love itself goes everywhere with us. Now, when you recognize that there's nowhere that love is not, that love is an omnipresent energy. Remember that descriptor of the Creator that you were taught as a child, omnipresent, omniscient, everywhere present. This active love is everywhere present. If you choose to tap into it as who you are, then that's the core of the healing energy. And in that healing energy, we are connected with all of love globally. We are whole. The world has kind of mistaken that and made holy something to do with, you know, being down and hit your knees with your hands folded. The only thing I could remember or think of when I was a kid, when I think about that, was you'd have square knees if your whole life became that holiness, that prayer, or what people called prayer. And everything, so many things have been falsified. Prayer in Aramaic means to set a trap for God, to become the space where active love shows up in the world. When active love is in you, you are whole, you are holy. And these words have been slightly twisted, sophistry. You know, teaching people to lie and make the lies appear true. So when you are connected to that state of wholeness, that state of love, Susan goes on to say, everything we see reflects the holiness within the mind at one with love and with itself. How easily do errors disappear? Now, you know, if you've got your eye, there's that, you know, there's that psychological axiom, I can remember from years ago hearing it. And they said, as you travel through life, no matter what your goal, keep your eye upon the donut and not upon the hole. That you keep your eye upon the substance. And yet the sophists will have us take our eye off of the substance and put our eye into the error. And when our eye is single in error, in hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, drama, and trauma, then that energy tends to take over our physiology and we lose our connection to the omnipresence of that in which we live, move, and have our being. So when you choose to go back, and, you know, the forgiveness process is given, it's interesting when you read about the forgiveness process in the Course, it says it's just a temporary thing. It won't be around for long. You'll only need it as long as you need to be dissolving what isn't real. And then what isn't real, when dissolved, puts an end to the need for forgiveness. But if your mind is tricked into giving substance to hostility or fear, how does your mind get tricked into giving substance to hostility or fear? Hey, your genes? Generations and generations of hostility and fear. Remember that story of the Jews wandering in the desert? And they said that in order to get out of the desert, something had to happen. Do you remember what had to happen? It was 40 years. What had to happen to get out of the desert? They said the old generation had to die off. Now, that didn't mean everybody in old physical bodies had to physically die. The root of the word generation is genare, it means cause. All of the causes, if you mistakenly bought into causes based in hostility or fear, then you find yourself in cycles of hostility or fear. When you understand and bring back the active energy of present love, then those errors disappear. Now, that's not an easy thing to remember. You know, in that old story about when you're in the middle of the swamp and up to your bippy and alligators, it's hard to remember the objective was to drain the swamp. It's been going on for so many generations. The world is so filled with this rage and fear and grief and pain, and everybody pointing a finger at everybody else like nobody's responsible. Who's responsible for the person who's in pain? The person who's holding to the pain. Well, yeah, but Michael, you should have seen what they did to me yesterday. No wonder I'm in pain. Okay, so that was yesterday. Where are they now? Oh, I heard they flew off to China. So they're in China, and you're still running around with the pain. Do you think that might be an error? Do you think that might be the definition of silliness? These errors disappear when the root of them is exposed to the active presence of love. So death, this lesson says, gives place to everlasting life. Our shining footprints point the way to truth, for love is our companion as we walk the world a little while. And those who come to follow us will recognize the way because the light we carry stays behind. It still remains with us as we walk on. So this, when one chooses to be a vessel and a vehicle that brings this omnipresent light forward into the world, then that light leaves a trail for everyone to see. And when we choose to tap into that presence of light, that presence of love, then something different happens. And it is the simple ability and practice of being able to bring love to an active state within yourself, to bring the truth of your being. Love isn't something we do to each other. It's what we are. You know, Vladimir Lenin says, you want to destroy a culture? Just change the meaning of its words. So what was the change? They made love something we do to each other instead of who we are. And I say to someone, why aren't you experiencing love? Oh, you didn't know what you didn't see what they did to me. Boy, that really hurt. Well, but why did you give up your essence for that? Why did you give up the presence of love? Didn't know any better. Well, now you know better. Don't need to do it. You can stand in the space of whatever someone else is doing and not give way to a mind based in hostility or fear. And if you find yourself falling into a mind based in hostility or fear, then that is where the temporary tool of forgiveness comes in. The single-edged sword of forgiveness is applied not to someone else, but to the content of your own mind that has you succumbing to fear, hostility, rage, guilt, grief, drama, and trauma, instead of remembering, let us remember the name of this lesson, who we are. Hold a newborn child. Remember who you are. You are this presence of love. You're not designed for anything else. So this lesson goes on to say, what we receive is our eternal gift to those who follow after and those who went before or stayed with us a while. And the Creator, who is love, who engulfs us in love, and there are some subtle changes that need to be made. You know, the instrument that writes the words down can only write what's vibrating in the mind of the instrument. So this lesson says, in God who loves us, no. And that presence in which we live, move, and have our being, which is love, engulfs us. And with this equal love in which we were created, that Creator smiles on us and offers us the happiness that we gave. In other words, and just as this research that I just came across, I actually don't remember when the research was done, but with a sociopath that has been considered hopeless in just about every practice of psychology, psychiatry going except drug them out of their minds, is that when someone chooses to stand through all their trial, all their rage, all their pain, all their viciousness, and just hold the space of love, for the moment when they're open to that presence of love, the sociopathic behavior begins to dissolve. That's through the act of forgiveness. When love is conscious, active, and present, and one can for a moment give up the goals that drive the trauma of the moment, then the underlying cause of trauma begins to dissolve. So today we will not doubt the presence of love in our lives, nor question the protection and care that comes with it. You know, we've talked recently about the film Hacksaw Ridge, a true story, very powerful, awesome example of what it means to live connected to the active presence of love and refuse to give it up no matter what anyone else does. And the ancient scriptures give us this thought that You could be on a battlefield where 1,000 or 10,000 will die, and you can't be touched. And here's this guy on Hacksaw Ridge in Okinawa, back in World War II, and he won't carry a weapon, and he's the only one with enough courage to stay on the battlefield while all the tough guys with their guns, who proclaim how they would never leave their buddies behind, leave 70 men on the battlefield that he pulled off the battlefield single-handedly over a period of several hours while the Allies were bombing the hell out of Hacksaw Ridge. I mean, it was an inferno. And you watch this guy, you get to see this teaching in real action in that film. Because here's this guy in this bombed-out inferno with crawling with Japanese who are just looking to kill everybody they can that isn't Japanese. And he pulls 70 injured men off the ridge single-handedly. That's called protection and care in the Course. We have that available to us. Unless we're not in harmony with that. Unless we say, go away, presence of love. I trust my rage more than this. And it's interesting how many people proclaim their love of God and their faithfulness and all their religious BS, because it is BS, because when the stress is up and the chips are down, they turn to hostility or fear. That's what they really trust. That's their real God. And, of course, the person who hears that at first goes, whoa, not me. Well, yeah, I got in a little rage, but that's how I protected myself. Well, what happened to your belief in a creator who said, I got your back? You turned totally against the creator with your rage. Don't kid yourself anymore. It's time to stop. It's time to go back to that level of trust. And when you do that, this lesson goes on to say no meaningless anxieties can come between our faith and our awareness of that presence. We are one with that love today in recognition and remembrance. We feel that presence in our hearts. If you don't feel it, it's because your heart's filled with something else. Now start chipping away at the hardness in your heart. That's what the forgiveness tool is for. Once the hardness in your heart is gone, there will be no more need for forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't about letting somebody else off the hook because there's something based in hostility or fear inside of you. Forgiveness is the practical step-by-step tool for how to remove those hostilities and fears that have been generationally implanted and perhaps reinforced in many, many circumstances in your life. And when you start to forgive that, when you start to remove that, you will feel that presence of love in you. And you will recognize that your minds contain thoughts that come from love. And your eyes can behold that loveliness in everything that you look at. You will come to the point where, you know, you can just be walking down the street. And there's someone, maybe someone not very attractive, not very clean, or not, you know, not up to some standard that you have. And yet your mind will be so filled with that presence of love that your thought will only be one of cherishing that person you stand before. And there is no one that you will exclude from that, because there is no part of you that you have excluded from that. If someone shows up and you are removed from the presence of love, of course the world has taught you to blame them. We say forget that blame game and recognize that that person is a symbol of the part of your mind that you've already shut down through some form of hostility or fear. And so that symbol of that part of your mind is a gift for you to be able to own and forgive, bring love present to that part of your mind to dissolve it and free yourself from it. And it just becomes a realization of your natural birthright that every being that you look at, which is a cell in your own body, divine sense is if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. The only thing that separates you from the rest of humanity is the hostilities and fears that you put into your brain's image of them. But that's why you feel less than love. That's what happens to your true nature. And when you remember, you know, that song, "Let Me Remember, I Am One with Love." That's my created nature. The world has taught me a million different insane ideas. And it is the forgiveness of those ideas that returns us to the truth of who we are. So this lesson goes on to say, our minds contain the Creator's thoughts, love's thoughts, and our eyes behold that loveliness in all we look at today. Today we see only the loving and the lovable. Now, you might see someone acting out in the most outrageous, bizarre, and insane way. Are you able to stay connected to the presence of love with that behavior happening? If you are, then you're presencing the energy that will bring healing, as with that sociopath. Your presence will bring healing into that mind. So we see that presence of love in all appearances of pain, as pain gives way to peace. How can pain give way to peace? Well, if you hold that pain present with active love, the pain will dissolve. That's all. The lesson goes on to say, we see it in the frantic, the sad, the distressed, the lonely, the afraid. We're all restored to the tranquility and peace of mind in which they were created. And it is that gift that you can give those who are in those states of mind. The only ones you'll have trouble giving that presence of love to are the ones who resonate the deeply hidden parts of your own mind that match theirs. The lesson goes on to say, and we see it in the dying and the dead as well, restoring them to life. All this we see because we saw it first within ourselves. No miracle can ever be denied to those who know that they are one with love. No thought of theirs but has the power to heal all forms of suffering in anyone. In times gone by and in times yet to come, as easily in the ones who walk beside them now, their thoughts are timeless and apart from distance as apart from time. We join in this awareness as we say, that we are one with love. And the only dynamics that won't heal in your presence as active love are the dynamics that you've not yet handled in yourself. When someone shows up with a matching fear or rage or hatred or vengeance to one that you hold in the hidden parts of your mind, then it is that which is resonated by them in the hidden parts of your mind that will take you out of the presence of love. And when you lose that presence, and the loss of that presence is a loss of your ability to heal that part of your mind. So we join in this awareness, the lesson goes on to say, as we say that we are one with love. For in these words we say as well that we are saved from that self-inflicted insanity and healed, that we can save and heal accordingly. We've accepted and we now would give. For we would keep the gifts our Father gave. Today we would experience ourselves as one with Him, at one with that presence of love, so that the world may share in our recognition of reality. In our experience, the world is freed. As we deny our separation from the Father, it is healed along with us. And the denial of separation from love looks like continuously turning your mind back to the presence of love, back to the presence of love, forgiving as to anything that can take you out of the presence of love. What does forgiving as to anything that can take you out of the presence of love look like? Well, I stand in front of someone and all of a sudden I find myself in rage. And if I look at my mind, it has something that it wants more than its own true life, love. And that goal uses a part of the mind filled with some form of hostility or fear to dissolve or to cover over the presence of love and make it appear as though something else is true. Today, this lesson goes on to say, we would experience ourselves at one with love so that the world may share our recognition of reality. In our experience, the world is freed. And as we deny our separation, it is healed along with us. Peace be to you today. Secure your peace by practicing awareness that you are one with love and that love is one with you. Sometime today, whenever it seems best, devote half an hour to the thought that you are one with love. Now, in the lessons in the course, this is the first attempt at an extended period that doesn't have a lot of special rules or words or what have you. But just take a half an hour and just stay with the thought. I am the presence of love. I am one with the presence of love. And as you sincerely do that, you will find that the Creator that resides within you will bring forward guidance. Take that half hour and watch what happens. Your benefit will not be less if you believe that nothing happened. You may not be ready to accept the gain today, yet sometime, somewhere, it will come to you. Nor will you fail to recognize it when it dawns with certainty upon your mind. This half hour will be framed in gold with every minute like a diamond set around the mirror that this exercise will offer you. And you will see the face of love upon it. It is a reflection of your own. Perhaps today, perhaps tomorrow, you will see your own transfiguration in the glass. This holy half hour will hold out for you to look upon yourself. When you are ready, you will find it there within your mind and waiting to be found. You will remember then the thought to which you gave this half hour, thankfully aware no time was ever better spent. As you breathe and let yourself just receive that. Just being in the presence of that sweet act of love, willing to drop everything else that does not belong. I am one with that love. I am the presence of that love. I can dissolve everything in me that is less than that love. As you breathe deeply and let yourself just be with that truth, the lesson goes on to say to count this as a gift to the Creator. In certainty that the return will be a sense of love you cannot understand, a joy too deep for you to comprehend, a sight too holy for the body's eyes to see. And yet you can be sure, someday, perhaps today, perhaps tomorrow, you will understand and comprehend it. Add further jewels to the golden frame that holds the mirror offered you today by hourly repeating yourself to yourself, let me remember, I am one with the Creator, at one with all my brothers and myself, in everlasting wholeness and peace. It is your birthright to live in that presence of love, and the world has tricked you in a million ways into giving it up. It's time to let go of all of the sophistry, all of the trickery in your mind, and just recognize the truth of who you are and allow yourself to live out of that. It is your birthright. A powerful practice to add to that is that everyone today that your eyes fall upon, share the thought with them silently or verbally if appropriate. You are cherished. You are cherished. Just breathe into that thought. You are cherished. The truth of your being is that you are one with the presence of love. And I join with you in breathing that into your structure. You'll oftentimes hear me in the background. Jeannie says, oh, Michael, you're breathing too loud. No, I'm just here to hold the space of breath. If you go back into the Aramaic, where the Greeks told us the Creator sent out his spirit, in Aramaic, it says the Creator sent out his breath. So I breathe with you. And as we breathe together, we conspire to live as true human beings. Remembrance Day. Let me remember. Along with 7.5 billion other seemingly separate individuals, that together we make up one body. And the truth of that one body is that we are designed to express the active presence of love. Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today?
No, he's not. I'm sure he's doing family stuff. And
I would imagine.
Camille's in the chat room, and she said happy anniversary to us, and that
Thank
they are
you.
Thankful for grateful for the truth that you teach and the love that you are. So thank you very much, Camille. Mm. And nobody has their hand up. I'm excited, though, of how many people we do have on the switchboard today, being a holiday. So thank you for joining us, everybody.
Welcome, everybody. Delighted you're here. Now, did what I say in the last 45 minutes trigger anything for you? Any questions? Any thoughts? If so, push one and let's talk about it. How can we support you? Is there something that didn't make sense? Is there something we could refine? Is there something we could make better sense of?
And
my background's in physics, in electronics, and in physics. All of this makes total sense in that physics world, in that physics language. If there's any part of it somehow seems mamby-pamby or doesn't, let's talk about it and we'll clarify it. Go ahead, let's
we
go
have
with
two
our caller.
Okay.
All right.
First one is 541. You're on the air. Is it Julie?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm going to walk in.
We have
another
an
room.
Echo.
Hi. That's weird. Okay, Ann and I were both in the same room on separate phones. So, hi.
Hey, young lady.
You.
Welcome.
Happy anniversary. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, I forgot that this is the weekend you got married a long time ago.
Thank
when
you.
Was it now? Eight or 10 years ago?
A long, long time
12
ago.
Years.
I still remember when.
12 years.
The music
12.
Used to make
wow.
me smile.
You know, we're just so in eternity with each other that we just don't keep track of time, do we?
That's true.
Oh,
that's true.
It's
interesting. Jeannie gave me a card this morning, and I gave her a card this morning, and we opened our cards, and we both had the same card. What are the chances?
Oh, that is funny.
That was cute. Sweet.
I love that. I love that. Oh, how beautiful. You know, you through all this message today, it was very beautiful and very needed by me, and I appreciate it. But there was this one word near the end, the word cherish. And I would just like to bring up something that I do this, and I bet other people do too. I've been mourning the loss of my dog, and off and on, it's very sad, and I'm not in the presence of love. You know,
right.
I've put up a veil. And when you said the word cherish, I thought, oh, I felt cherished by my dog.
Mm,
and when that
sweet.
Subtracted and disappeared, you know, it started waning. Well, I was perceiving the whole thing. I'm still cherished, and that's not where cherishing comes from. I mean, you're talking about the Creator cherishing us. And so I had this whole story, even about my dog, about how the Creator gave me my dog. And so then I'm once removed from the Creator's cherishing me to the dog cherishing me and me cherishing the dog. And it's so easy to slip into those idols that we put before God. And then when they crumble, so to speak, what do I have to hold on to? And so I mourn the loss of an idol, which is, you know, there's more to it than this that I'm saying, but just, this is what I saw today.
I understand.
Yeah, so when I'm mourning the loss of an idol and I keep myself in that energy, I'm keeping myself from the active conscious presence of love. I'm punishing myself. I've been catching that as I've been observing my experience for the week. So I, you know, it would be good to let go of punishing myself and be more available with the love that I am to extend to others, including my dog. I was very much in fear most of the time towards the end, and I regret that.
Mm.
So.
So in this energy that's moving in you right now, while this is moving, it sounds like grief, maybe some self-judgment. While that's moving, can you bring forward that cherishing energy, that presence of love? At the same time, can you let yourself be with both of those?
I can, with thought, without, with thought I'm starting, yes.
Yeah. So go for that, and what you'll find is, as you do that, you'll begin the dissolution of the loss energy and live with the presence of the love energy.
Mm. And cherish.
Yeah.
Well, just love. I don't even have to layer cherish. And my need to be cherished. What is my need to be cherished except separating myself from the reality that I already am cherished.
Good breath. That's the kind that opens the space and heals. Right on track.
Thank you. And thanks for holding this space and breathing with us today. Thank you.
Honored,
like,
delighted.
You're just ever there for us. You're just ever there. You're the ever presence of the active conscious presence of love. Somehow, you know, it's not only for you. It just touches us all. It's so beautiful. Thank you.
Well, as somebody once said, just doing my job, ma'am. Just doing my job. You know, and it's a practice. It's one that we, you know, I mean, my invitation is to everyone is move in that direction. It's just remembering who we are. It's living in the space of who we are and holding in that space whatever happens in our lives, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we're capable of that. It's just that we haven't been taught to do that. We've been taught to do something else, you know, buy into blame and rage and fear and, you know, condemnation, something wrong here, rather than, I am the presence of pure being, and here comes an experience. Gee, there are 1,000 generations in my bloodline didn't like this experience, so there's rage and guilt and fear. So now I think I'll just begin to forgive and let loose of those things and stand in the presence of this experience.
And you mentioned purpose earlier, too. And so I'm noticing how I keep myself away from my purpose. It's another way I punish myself. And yet, as I restore to love, I can hardly wait to get back on track and just do my job too, you know, be on purpose and be the presence.
So you're ready for an assignment?
Okay, am I going to write it down? I'm almost ready.
I think you'll be easily remember this one.
Oh, okay.
How about picking out purpose exercise from Laws of Living? You got your purpose exercise. Refine it with new understanding and with the experiences you've just been through. I suspect there'll be some big shifts in your purpose statement. And then write it on a 3x5 card that you put in your wallet or your purse and commit yourself to carrying it with you for the next 6 months, wherever you go. And at least once a day, taking it out and spending some time in contemplation on it.
Wow.
Let me remember is the name of the lesson.
What? Oh, the lesson in Laws of Living?
The name of the lesson for today was Let Me Remember. So I'm just suggesting that you let yourself remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks.
Cool.
Well, that'd be very healthy. I'll let another caller come in because I'm taken care of.
Right.
And thank you, and have a beautiful weekend.
All of you in the space. You too. Lots of love. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
All right, Jeannie, you've got another caller?
We do. It's area code 207. You're on the air.
Hello.
207?
Is that
hey,
you
young man, how do you be?
Is that Julie? That was just talking.
That was Julie.
Say it again.
From Oregon, yes.
Yeah,
that was Julie from
Oregon,
yes.
Yeah, yes. Thank you, Julie. You just gave me a huge, huge, huge gift. When you talk about your dog and being precious. When she talked about her dog and her being precious to her dog, I think she said. Oh, my God, that struck a chord. Thank you, Julie. Oh, my God.
Breathe into it. Go for it, friend.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
Go for it.
Where it all begins. Oh, my God. That's where it all begins. Oh, my God.
Be with that feeling.
I've got to hang up, Michael. I'm going to. I've got to hang up so I can focus on it.
Just stay with us. Just stay with us and be with what's moving. Breathe and just let us hold the space with
you.
We've only got a minute or two.
I can tell you what it was. When I was 3 years old, I had a dog that nobody could come around me because of this dog. This dog was a Doberman. And my parents hadn't even come close to me while he was around me. He did not allow anybody around me. And he was poisoned or killed one night. And I think I've told this story before, but I was told that he was killed because I was a bad boy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. I've not gone through this feeling several times. You see, it gets more intense every time, but it gets clearer that it's not the truth.
Yeah. It's pretty bizarre, the messages we're given and that we buy into, isn't it?
Now, the next key to the story is his name was Satan. The girl. Oh, my God. guilt is the dog died for me. That's where a lot of the guilt comes from. He died because
yeah.
of me. You know, so I have to forgive that, that he didn't really die because of me. He died because there were some cruel, ruthless people out there. Had not to do
exactly.
with me. Had absolutely nothing to do with me. Somebody else being cruel and ruthless. And we were all on our path.
Isn't it bizarre the messages we're given as kids and that rule
yeah.
our lives?
Amazing. Amazing. And I hear other people doing it every day. And I probably did
yeah.
with my kids at one point or another. Yeah. Gotta let that energy go.
Yeah. For sure.
Breathe through it.
You just
breathe through it.
Gets lovingly passed on
wow.
generation after generation.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Drew. If you hadn't said that, I never would have been triggered. Thank you, Michael, for teaching me how to navigate the course. You were one of the many masters.
Have... Oh.
Huh?
To be on
what?
The team. Glad to be
yes,
on the team, and the phone's going to cut us off at any second
okay.
now. So just know we're holding
we're all
this
on the
space.
Same team.
That phone disconnects.
Thank
all right.
You.
Cherish you. Blessings. All righty. Bye-bye. Everybody have the best new year yet of your eternal lives. Remember, you are love.